This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, February 27th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. Anger over low CVP allocations. Kramer parts ways with Citrus Mutual. FDA expands traceability and groups highlight USMCA benefits. The Trump administration is facing growing backlash after the Bureau of Reclamation set minimal water supply allocations for Central Valley Project contractors, with farm water managers and elected officials criticizing the early figures as too conservative amid improving reservoir levels. Reclamation set allocations for South of Delta contractors at 15%, while settlements, the municipal and industrial users, receiving relatively higher starts. The agency attributed the cautious numbers to a dry and warm January that reduced snowpack to around 59% of historical averages, even as reservoir storage remains above typical levels thanks to recent wet years. Westlands Water District General Manager Allison Febo pushed back vigorously, saying the allocation, quote, does not reflect current hydrologic conditions and falls well short of what is needed to sustain the district's nearly 700 family-owned farms. She pointed to recent storms, stronger snowpack, and above-average reservoir levels as reasons the allocation should be higher. The political response was equally forceful. Valley Representative Adam Gray and Jim Costa issued a joint statement calling the initial allocation unjustified given this winter's precipitation and snowpack, arguing that promises to deliver more water to the valley ring, quote, hollow today. They said the current allocation is, quote, offensive to the farmers of the San Joaquin Valley and urged federal officials to raise the numbers immediately. The Fryant Water Authority shared deep gratitude after receiving a 100% Class 1 allocation for its division, calling the move a, quote, timely, nimble, and data-driven approach. The Water Authority added that it provides important certainty for our member districts, growers, and the communities that they serve. Julia Inestroza, board chair at the California Citrus Mutual, announced to members yesterday that the organization and now former president and CEO Casey Kramer have parted ways as of February 11th. Inestroza assured members that CCM's day-to-day operations will continue under the direction of our experienced staff, and the board has begun a process of identifying their next leader. Kramer's departure closes out more than a decade at one of the state's most prominent commodity groups. He joined the Exeter-based organization in 2012, became the top executive in 2019. During his tenure, he helped guide the state's citrus industry through a period marked by drought, escalating water regulations, and the growing threat of Yuengling, the devastating citrus greening disease that has reshaped production in Florida. It looms over California growers. Under Kramer's leadership, CCM expanded its advocacy at both the state and the federal level, pressing lawmakers and regulators on water supply reliability, pest and disease prevention funding, and trade access. He was a consistent voice in Sacramento on the issues ranging from groundwater implementation under SGMA to pesticide policy and labor costs, often emphasizing the cumulative regulatory pressures facing specialty crop producers. Kramer also worked closely with researchers and state officials to bolster early detection and response efforts for citrus greening, encouraging coordinated action between growers, regulators, and urban residents. The FDA has issued updated guidance on implementing its food traceability rule under the Food Safety Modernization Act. The guidance takes the form of a Q&A document clarifying key aspects of the rule, including how to determine when it applies to farms, retail food establishments, restaurants, and specific activities like initial packing, transformation, and record keeping of designated foods. The rule's objective is to enhance traceability of certain high-risk foods, that to improve outbreak response and prevent foodborne illness. The agency announced a series of quarterly sessions organized with the Partnership for Food Traceability beginning March 6. The sessions will engage farms, processors, retailers, and others on practical challenges and potential compliance options. Public comments on the guidance are open through May 21st. FDA has also released produce regulatory program standards aimed at strengthening oversight by state, local, tribal, and territorial regulators. As a review of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement approaches, groups have been using this year's Commodity Classic in San Antonio to highlight the deal's benefits for U.S. farmers and North American competitiveness writ large. The Agricultural Coalition for USMCA hosted a breakfast event on the sidelines of the conference Thursday. During a panel discussion, international trade lawyer Mateo Diego Fernandez Andrea argued that preserving a trilateral deal allows for integrated supply chains that boost North American exports. U.S. grain is used to raise Mexican calves, which are brought to the U.S. to finish and then exported to other countries as beef, he said. The deal, in its current form, he argued, ensures that the region remains a dominant economic force. Earlier in the week, Farmers for Free Trade hosted an event here in San Antonio where leaders signed the USMCA's precursor, the North American Free Trade Agreement. The event, the first in a series of roundtable discussions the group is hosting in the run-up to the review that starts in July. Further events slated for Iowa, Wisconsin, and some other farm states. Federal judge has ordered the Army Corps of Engineers to increase spill at dams along the Snake River in eastern Washington. It's the latest action in a long legal feud over declining salmon populations on the river. In its preliminary injunctions, U.S. District Judge Michael Simon in Portland, Oregon, expressed disappointment with the USA's plans to reduce the amount of water that spills through the dams compared to previous years. Instead, he ordered the agency to implement spill levels comparable to 2024 and 25, as well as maintaining 2025 water levels in reservoirs. Michael Hennings, executive director of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, criticized the decision, saying, "We believe the court order to increase spill and lower reservoir elevations is simply manipulating the river system in a way that will appease environmental activists, but in the long run, threaten the overall viability of the Columbia Snake River system," she said in a statement. Simon's decision is just the latest in a long-standing dispute that has pitted tribes, environmentalists, and fishermen concerned about the salmon declines against farmers, shippers, and energy companies dependent on the navigation and transportation benefits the dams provide. Here's today's final word. We are the San Joaquin Valley. We are not Silicon Valley. That Connie Conway, State Executive Director of the USDA Farm Service Agency in California, speaking at the annual Agricultural Policy Summit by the Maddy Institute this week. Conway addressed what work farmers and farm workers will turn to if more land is fallowed and agricultural production drops. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, February 27th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit agripulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Allen.